varies on whether or not we're a fan or a follower, Pastor.
A little later, Brother Jeff will welcome our visitors. But I was looking at this, and on here it says, I'd like more information about, and there's a whole list of things, and then there's other. And so if anyone is interested, an other that you could fill in there is if you'd like to share reading the scripture during our service. That's a habit that we got into at my previous church. If you're a good reader and would like to read scripture for our worship service, you can fill that in another or give me a call about it. Now, though, it's still my turn. So I would like you to turn with me in scripture to Luke chapter 7. In Luke 7, we'll read a most interesting little story about Jesus' experience with some people. At verse 36 through 50, 36 to the end of Luke chapter 7. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, "This is the man. If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, we don't know if there's a pause in there, but at least sometime, quickly or slowly, Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Well, this is, as I said, an interesting short little story about Jesus' life. And I'm wondering, as we look at this story, all of us have probably read it before or heard of it before. I wonder if you wondered what I wonder. Why did this Pharisee invite Jesus to his house? The story doesn't really tell us that, and I like to speculate a little as long as I let you know that I'm only guessing. We can't know for certain. But it does seem like the rest of the story, and that there are other Pharisees there, and so it does seem like this Pharisee was concerned for his image and pretending to be a good host. And now here's the part I can't say for sure, but maybe thinking that if Jesus ever amounts to anything, I want to say that I was there and that I knew him and that I had him over to my house. But just having him over was not too impressive. We find out in their culture, now we have to do a little culture translation here. In their culture, he treated Jesus very poorly. I just met some visitors this morning and I shook hands. That's a typical thing, a typical welcome for our visitors. And of course, I greeted many of you. I'm still learning everybody's names, but I greeted many of you that I know with a handshake. That's typical for us. Typical in their culture was to give a kiss. And if you had somebody over to your house to wash their feet, we don't really need that much in our culture. Sometimes we do if we've been to the beach, but usually we don't need that. And it was typical to anoint someone with oil. That might have been just a few drips of oil to help them straighten out their hair. But those were typical things. The rules of etiquette for their culture, very different from ours. In cases where the person was of equal social rank, the host would greet them with a kiss on the cheek. We often see that sort of in French or Italian people. They kiss each other on the side of the face, on the cheek. For a person of high honor, the host would kiss their hand. But to neglect the kiss in their culture is like if somebody walked up and said, "Hi, I'm Bill," and I went, pulled my hand back and backed away. That would be rude, wouldn't it? That would be bad. As I mentioned, in their culture, washing feet was mandatory before meals. To truly honor someone, you would do it yourself. You're the householder, you're the house owner, you have servants, but to truly honor someone, you kneel down with the basin and the towel and do it yourself. But not so bad if you are the householder and you have servants to help you with household things, that to have one of your servants do it. Not a disrespect, not a problem. And at very least, you'd say to someone who comes over, "There's the bowl and the towel. Go ahead, wash your feet." Again, not as nice, not as great, but at least offering this basic hospitality. Jesus received none of the common welcome, the kiss, the feet washing, the anointing, none. Now, of course, these things are not common in all our culture, as I said, but each of them was significant in that culture and plainly showed that this man did not respect Jesus. Kind of going through motions, but that's it. And then we shouldn't miss the irony of this moment. We talked about this before with another character last week, Nicodemus. This fellow was also a Pharisee. This fellow spent his entire childhood memorizing significant sections of the Old Testament. This man had spent his adult life studying the Old Testament scriptures. As we mentioned with Nicodemus, this man, Simon, by age 12 would have memorized the first 12 books of the Bible. By age 15, the whole Old Testament. He knew by heart more than 300 prophecies about a coming Messiah. 300 that he memorized. Simon knew a lot. We might even guess maybe he knew too much for his own good. We can't know for sure. He had Old Testament prophecies in his head, but did not know what they meant. Did not know that they were about Jesus. He knew the promised Messiah was sitting in his dining room with his hand unkissed, his feet unwashed, his head unanointed. He knew the law. He knew Jesus was a teacher. But he doubted that he was a prophet. The text tells us that. He wondered about that. At least there at the point where this sinful woman had come into the house, she had a bad reputation. Everybody in town knew her reputation. She had done a lot of wrong things. Text doesn't tell us exactly what. Many have guessed. But Simon knew all about Jesus, but didn't know Jesus. He probably doubted that he would amount to much, but like I said, he was probably trying to play his cards right in case something, Jesus kind of came out okay. In Pastor Kyle Eidelman's language, Simon was a big fan, but not a follower. And fans, among other things we've said about them, they tend to confuse their knowledge to know about something for intimacy with a person, or really knowing them and really having a close relationship. Fans don't recognize the difference between knowing about Jesus and truly knowing Jesus intimately. In church, we maybe sometimes have gotten this confused. We have systems for learning that result in knowledge, but not necessarily intimacy. And here, I need to interrupt myself. Please do not get me wrong. I'm 100% in favor of biblical sermons and good Bible studies and Sunday school and catechism and children's moments and anything that helps us learn more about Jesus and everything in His Word. But having said that, and encouraging you to continue in that, as you've been doing long before I arrived, and I pray we'll continue together. Having said that, notice Simon had learned everything. He'd been to every Bible class. He had been to every sermon. He had been to everything that was taught in the church. And when Jesus walked into his house, he didn't get it. Simon shows us something about the Bible and the Messiah, that all of it, all of our learning isn't worth much if we don't know Jesus. Pastor Kyle thinks, again, I talked about speculating. Pastor Kyle thinks Simon was hosting Jesus out of a sense of duty instead of a desire to honor him. But enough about the first verse of our study this morning. Let's look at what happened at Simon's house. The woman with a reputation learned Jesus was there, and she showed up with a very expensive jar of perfume. Mark 14:5 and John 12:5 tell us it was worth a year's wages. Now, maybe some of our wages are a little different from each other, but everybody's whole year wages is a whole lot of money to spend for perfume. We don't really spend that much at our house, I hope. A whole year's wages for that perfume. John says in his gospel that this woman was Mary. She had a plan. Her plan was simple and elegant at the same time. She wanted to show her love for Jesus. We can only guess how she knew Jesus. The text does not tell us exactly, although it does hint at some things. She had her sins forgiven by Jesus, which he reiterates in this story. Or he may have helped her understand how very much she needs forgiveness that Jesus would supply. That distinction is not clear from the text. But either she had received forgiveness or she was ready to receive forgiveness from Jesus. That is very clear. Exactly what happened earlier from this story, we don't know for sure. But here's what we know. She really loved Jesus. She really, really, really loved Jesus. She anointed him with that expensive perfume, knowing full well lots of people would think it's a waste. She knew it was an incredible expression of how much she loved him. She was honoring him with that expensive perfume. We would probably call it to the max. As much as you can do. She was so emotional, she cried enough tears to wet Jesus' feet with them. His feet were probably dusty. Simon hadn't provided washing of his feet, so they were probably dusty from the dusty roads. And she cried enough tears out of her love for him to wipe them, to clean them. And then she wiped them with her hair. Those things are so alien to us, aren't they? We hardly can get it. So we need to at least get this. Another expression of how very, very, very much she loved him. Letting her hair down in public at all was a disgrace and a shame in her culture. Mary gave herself to him unreservedly. She held nothing back. She loved him as much as a person can do. She deeply loved Jesus, and here's an important key. She didn't care who knew it. She didn't care what they thought of her expressing her deep love for Jesus. Imagine with me for a moment an emotional picture. Simon's coldness like a dark black cloth background. Kind of a darkness and a coldness like a jeweler might use to display a precious gem. But Mary showing up as the beautiful precious gem against that dark backdrop. A shining jewel of intimacy sparkling on that dark cloth background. Simon's cold darkness is a lack of intimacy with Jesus. I must emphasize here that this is not sensual or sexual in any way. All of this was done in front of Simon and his other guests, and Jesus lets Mary display her intimacy and her love for him. She lets him. He noticed it because he tells Simon what she did. And the story tells us she was at his feet. They would have been reclining toward a table. All of their heads and shoulders would have been close to the table and all of their feet sticking out away. But Jesus knew exactly what she had done. He notices the attitude going on in that room. I'm intrigued by this text. It says, Simon said to himself. I always wonder, how does he know that? How does he know what Simon said to himself? But here's how. Jesus perceived the attitude. Jesus could see what was going on. Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can see what's going on in another person's mind. And we can react to it. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus, better at it than anybody we've ever met. So anyway, Simon said to himself, his derision for Jesus for allowing this well-known sinful woman to even touch him. How could he let her do that? How could he let her do that? This is his attitude. Knowing what Simon was thinking, Jesus had a great response. Simon, I have something to tell you. And look what it says there. He waited for Simon to reply. Jesus wasn't going to tell him unless it was okay for him to hear it. Unless he was going to actually pay attention to Jesus. Simon, I have something to tell you. And Simon replied, tell me, teacher. Oh, there comes the door open a little bit, a crack in the door. Then Jesus tells him one of the simplest parables ever. You read the story with me. It's a very simple, very straightforward parable. Two guys owe the boss a bunch of money. But one owes the boss a little bunch of money, and the other one owes the boss a big bunch of money. Neither can repay, and both are forgiven the debt. It's not tricky. Simple question. Which one will love him more? Simon judges correctly. It's the one who's forgiven more, who loves more. But notice this about the story. Simon didn't realize that he is the one who has the small debt. He didn't realize that at first. He says correctly, he was forgiven little, he was forgiven little, loves little. Mary was forgiven much and loved much. Many want to speculate what her sins might have been, as I said. At very least, it could be said that her sins were public. People knew about them and her reputation. It seems to suggest adultery or prostitution. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The text doesn't tell us, and it doesn't matter. What matters is that she knows she is a sinner, and she knows she needs forgiveness. I know people who have done very few wrong things, and when they did wrong things, they weren't that bad. And I know people who've done a whole lot of wrong things, and when they did wrong things, they were really bad. I've sat across the desk from thousands of people with drinking and drug problems. I may have mentioned to some of you or all of you that sometimes they feel like they've gone too far and they can't be forgiven. They know about forgiveness, they know God loves, they know God forgives, but I have done too much. You know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is if you know you've been wrong, and you know you need forgiveness, and you know where to go to get it. She knows she's a sinner, and she knows she needs forgiveness, and she knows, as I said, what's not clear is if she already received it or if she received it in this context. But she knows forgiveness comes from Jesus. We know a lot about Jesus, but are we going through the motions sometimes, or do we really love Jesus? Jesus is asking today, not me. Jesus is asking, do you love me? And that reminds me, as you've already learned that I'm a bit of a movie buff. It reminds me of a beautiful scene in The Fiddler on the Roof. A scene where their daughter wants to marry a poor kid, and that wasn't really acceptable in their culture. Tevye says, Golda, I have decided to give Perchik permission to become engaged to our daughter, Hodel. Golda, what? He's poor. He has nothing, absolutely nothing. Tevye says, he's a good man, Golda. I like him. And what's more important, Hodel likes him. Hodel loves him. So what can we do? It's a new world, a new world. Love, Golda. Do you love me? Golda says, do I what? Do you love me? Do I love you? With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out, go inside, go lie down. Maybe it's indigestion. Tevye interrupts. Golda, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me? You're a fool. I know. But do you love me? Do I love you? For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. After 25 years, bet one, pay attention here. After 25 years, why talk about love now? Tevye says, Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared. She says, so was I. I was nervous. So was I. But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other, and now I'm asking, Golda, do you love me? I'm your wife. I know. But do you love me? Do I love him? Golda sort of turns to the audience, to someone in theory. For 25 years, I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years, my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Then, do you love me? I suppose I do. He says, and I suppose I love you too. Great scene from a great movie. The classic story shows how sad it can be if a married couple spend years going through the motions, and this touching scene suggests that real love can and should be expressed. We need to notice the grace in this text. Here, the grace to Simon. Remember Simon? Going through the motions, trying to look good, trying to get an in with Jesus in case he amounts to anything. The grace to Simon is that God approaches someone who is cold and going through the motions. Simon has an opportunity to get to know Jesus. Jesus brings a message of forgiveness of sins and love right into his house in a subtle and gentle way. Even though he's seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons, Jesus gives him the message of forgiveness. Of course, the grace to Mary is he forgave her sins. Could Simon have received being forgiven little? Simon isn't about love. He's keeping score of sins. Does Jesus stoop to Simon's level to try to explain it? Simon seems to have no understanding of sin. He seems only to be going through the motions. He only can look at other people's sins and apparently unwilling to look at his own. Simon witnessed great forgiveness, awesome forgiveness. The most disreputable person in the whole town, forgiven. Simon couldn't even imagine forgiving her. And he saw Jesus do it. God's grace overwhelmed Mary. She loved Jesus much and was forgiven much. I get tears in my eyes once in a while. Not to flow out like that. She was overwhelmed with Jesus' love and forgiveness. She was broken and was forgiven much. We don't know if Simon broke down or what he did with the grace he observed. We don't get to find out. But when we love Jesus, we are comforted and forgiven by him. And if not, we're just going through the motions when we're confronted. Everyone is forgiven. Everyone who is forgiven much. Remember, it doesn't matter who did what, how much, how bad, how little. Doesn't matter. Simon's legalism was not a relationship, but Jesus confronted him with grace. Jesus did not turn down the invitation. How often do you go to someone's house who you know full well, they don't even like you? We don't do that, do we? That's what Jesus did. Jesus was willing to bring the grace to Simon's house. Mary followed Jesus. She heard grace and love from him and loved him much in return. So, just like the folks in that story, Jesus asked every one of us, like Tevye asked Golda, "Do you love me?" Well, I've been going to church for so many years, and I've been doing this and that, and I read my Bible, and I read the Today booklet, and I taught Sunday school two or three times, and I did this and I did that. And is that how we will respond to Jesus? To earn points, to be legalistic, to look good? Or because we really love Jesus? It is my great pleasure. It's an honor, a privilege, a blessing for me to tell you that forgiveness of sins is available to every one of you and me too. It's available. How will we respond? Your sins are forgiven. Says one commentator, it's extremely important to note that the word for sin here is about the guilt of the wrongdoer and not upon the wrongdoing itself. The event of wrongdoing is not undone, but the guilt resulting from such an event is pardoned. To forgive, therefore, means to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. See, Jesus doesn't turn back the clock and have you undo the sin that you did. He can't. He could, I suppose, if he chose to. But he doesn't do that. He takes away the guilt of our sin and frees us to love him. Some languages make a clear distinction between guilt and sin, and terms for forgiveness are related to guilt and not to wrongdoing. So to forgive sins is literally to forgive your guilt, to take away guilt. Jesus said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That's because he had taken away her guilt. She had plenty of it. An appropriate amount of it. But he took it away. Her guilt removed. She was free to love him much. Jesus is able and willing to forgive sins. But this is not just about forgiveness, it's about the love. It's easy to get that wrong, as Simon might have done. The point is to love much, not how much forgiveness. If you want to dwell in the sin and keep score, that's not about loving Jesus. So at least at this point, we don't know what happened later, but at this point, Simon was a fan, Mary was a follower. Much later, Jesus made clear, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It's about loving him. Then we let it show. Do you love him? Follow him. Know him intimately. Become more and more like him and do his will. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you for these amazing stories about Jesus and his great love for us. And we speak of it often, but Lord, help us to never go through the motions. Help us to truly appreciate the forgiveness that you've given and the great love that you have shown us. Lord, help us to respond to that love by being forgiven, by letting go of our guilt that you take away, and help us to live in freedom and serve you in freedom and in love. Lord, we bless you and praise you. We honor you. We give you glory because of all you've done for us and through us and in us. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Following our benediction, we're going to continue to learn the song we started to learn last week. Let it be said of us. Thank you, praise team, for helping us with that. Please stand for God's word of greeting. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord fill you with his love and forgiveness and peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be said.